presents E3 coverage. Host Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, live E3 2019. Pete, this is it. This is the day we finally got to check out Cyberpunk 2077, and we have a special guest also going to be talking about the game from CD Projekt Red. What's your name and what do you do?
Yeah, my name is Pavel Sasko. I'm a lead of the Quest team, and I'm working on Cyberpunk 2077, and I'm actually super happy to be talking to you guys.
Yeah, yeah. I know you follow us on Twitter.
And I do.
You've been checking out the videos from last year. Paris told me that to mention that he's going to be here tomorrow at 5, so he's super excited, super excited. So let's talk about the demo. Let's talk about like the difference from last year's demo to this year's demo, and we'll go from there.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we have asked journalists that they've been visiting us last year to fill up the surveys. And those surveys were basically just, we were asking for feedback, you know, mm-hmm. what you guys think honestly about the demo, what was good, what was not good. We really wanted to like figure out, you know, okay, what we didn't get right, and make sure that we actually will improve on those things. And the demo that we have seen this year is actually a bit different than the previous one. Mm-hmm. There are some elements maybe that you can compare in terms of like story structure, I would say, but there are other things that we are showing. And one of the things that we've been working on to improve on, that has been our animation system. And you will see it, hopefully, or you have seen it already, we improved a lot, and like there's way more fluidity to it than before. We have working on our cars and our motorcycles as well to just get that part as well, just way better. Another thing was the gunplay. So that was also something that has been pointed out. Okay, yeah, maybe that's not right. Maybe the guns don't feel that good. So we've been working a lot on it. Like, I'm sure there's still plenty of space for improvement. Like, there's mm-hmm. no denying. But that was definitely our focus. Another thing was, like, one of the things that journalists pointed out to us was, like, the fact that you can play some quests without killing people, but there were moments when we opened and said, okay, but there are moments when you have to actually kill. And not everybody was happy about it. And really, like, internally, we've been looking into it and talking about it, and we're like, I mean, we almost have it. Like, it's not that we have to rework the whole game to have it done. It was, like, almost there. Mm-hmm. Just some bits were missing. And we were like, okay, let's get it in. Like, we committed, okay, let's do it. So we changed those parts that were actually not supporting the non-lethal playthrough. Mm-hmm. And right now, you can play absolutely the whole game from beginning till the end, every quest. So all the main quests, side quests, minor quests, street stories, you can actually do without killing. You still have to harm people sometimes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to kill anybody. And depending on what you do, it, of course, has some consequences to the story.
Yeah, and I noticed that this time it was slower than compared to last year. Last year was really fast-paced. But the thing that I really liked the most about this demo is now that you guys were switching characters, or not switching characters, more of like the female and male version, but some of them were either, maybe they're more intelligent than the other. The other one was more stronger. So you were showing things that you could actually do in the game. And the option, there's so many different ways how you could fight against an enemy, hacking, find out more like the conversation they're having with other characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I really like that, because I think last year it was more of just like, let's shoot, let's go over here. And you guys were talking about the things you could do, but there was no actual demo of that. But this one, I like a lot more better for this one. So.
Yeah, I mean, this time we have put like a lot of emphasis on just getting the... It's something that we call like branching gameplay. So in Witcher 3, we did like branching storyline in open world. In this game, we took like branching storyline in open world and added like branching gameplay to it. So what you have seen is the moments when you are switching between two different builds. And we did it in a way that also those two different builds have two different genders, so that we can guys show you guys that it actually works. So when you're switching, it actually has a bit different animations and so on, but it also looks fluid. And we've been showing a strong solo female and a netrunner male in that particular case, and they were playing completely different ways through the Grand Imperial Mall, right? And that was exactly to showcase that element.
Yeah, I think my focus is going to be, once the game releases, I'm going to be hacking the whole time. I really enjoy that part, just hacking, and while you hack, they were like certain parts, like a robot will attack an enemy, and you're just from like far away looking at everything what's going on. And then the people that's around there, they freak out, like, what's going on? Why did this robot punch him? So I like that part a lot. So I'm going to be doing that a lot. For sure. So go
ahead. Okay. So you guys finally announced the launch date, right? We're talking April of 2020. How excited are you guys on the team to finally be able to release that date to the public? Because it's been like the most anticipated thing for like the last 5 or 7 years.
Oh, man. I mean, seriously, like sometimes we thought it will never happen. No, it's like the date is like a savior that comes in and says, okay, guys, we're wrapping this up. Like enough, you know, fooling around. Just we need to finish this thing. And honestly, like we are fairly confident in being able to deliver that, because this demo this year, it shows like, I would say, the core aspects and elements, and I would say the most complex and the hardest things to do. Because with the previous demo, we've been focusing on like a core systems, but there were like bigger things. I would say there was like, let's say, our scene system, the interactive scene system that we've been showing up, the standoff with Royce and Dum Dum that we were having in the Maelstrom in All Foods. But this time, we're focusing actually on the branching gameplay. And you can see from the demo, hopefully, that the game just matured way more. It's like you can actually already tell, okay, this is the way you play it. Like that's the way it acts, and because I think we finally have all the components to actually do it together,
right?
And it makes some sense. So that's why I'm fairly confident that we'll actually nail this.
I remember last year, one of the first things you guys had told us was that fundamentally the main game was done by the time you guys got here to E3, and at that point it was like, all right, now we need to do all the ancillary components of the game. So I mean, it's exciting and amazing how quickly you guys have really put everything together. Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves, you guys got the man and the myth in the game. You know, he was unveiled at the press conference the other day. How did you guys get in touch with him, and like, was he always part of the plan to be brought into Cyberpunk?
Oh wow! I mean, I have a few interesting stories I think to tell you guys about it. So
yeah,
with Keanu, the whole thing started like around a year ago or something, maybe slightly less, but around a year ago. And at that time, we already had designed the main storyline, of course, and lots of quests, and we knew that in the game we have Johnny Silverhand, this iconic rocker boy from 2020, the leader of a samurai, right? We knew that we have him, and we knew that he plays like a key role in the game. And we're looking for an actor that would be like a good fit for him, right? There was this moment when our business part of our company, like the guys started reaching out to Keanu's agents, and they're like starting asking, hey, if they would be interested or something. And you know, then we meet him, shown him a few things, talked to him about it. And actually, like, it was surprising because he got into this thing like really fast. Like, that's not the thing he's normally doing. But it was like he started like thinking about the role and about Johnny Silverhand, about the actor, about the character. He's like pretty fast.
Well, I remember he's been in like roles, you know, obviously we know him from The Matrix. Johnny Mnemonic is another movie from like when I was growing up that I loved. I love
exactly,
that movie.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in that case, you know, in that regard, it was perfect. It's perfect, you know, role casting.
Yeah. During the demo, I noticed that he has like an attitude problem. He's just like, it seems like he doesn't really care. He's like, yeah, do whatever you want. Like is he like that the whole time? Also, based on him coming up in certain situations, would that also unlock new quests too, because of Johnny Silverhand, or what?
That's a super interesting question. So,
okay,
Johnny Silverhand is a primary character in our game, and the relationship that he has with V depends on the player's choices. So you forge this relationship throughout most of the game, and what you will do there will define what happens at the end, sort of. I don't want to spoil, of course, the main story, because it's super important for us. But like the relationship you have is forged through that choices. And thing is that Johnny Silverhand, so the character that Keanu's playing, he has his own agenda. And thing is that there are things he really likes what you're doing, especially things that he believes on, because he was this freedom fighter, you know, like guys, you know, who are on the corporate side of the things, they would probably call him a terrorist. But he was a freedom fighter, and he has his own agenda. And thing is, like, at the moment when, you know, he's and, you know, V's plans align, he's probably going to be on board with it, but there are times when he won't. Mm-hmm. And there is, like, the whole game, like, sort of develops this relationship. And what player does will influence it greatly.
I really enjoyed seeing you guys added the area that you were in the demo. It was like a Haitian community there. Oh. So while you're walking around, you see them talking in Creole. And on top, you see like the translation. I really like that because maybe I will learn how to speak Creole in certain words, you know, because of that. So I really enjoyed that for sure. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's one of the features that the Kiroshi Optics offers you. So this, we call it like on-the-fly translation. Basically, the Kiroshi Optics is something that when you encounter languages in the game that your character doesn't understand, it will actually on-the-fly translate you that. And here we show one of those things. It's basically translation from French Creole to the language that we have chosen. So we were playing in English, it will translate to English. But if we were playing in Russian, let's say, it will translate to Russian and so on.
So if I go to a building, I know last year you gave us a pamphlet where it breaks down more information about the game that wasn't available in the demo. So one part, it said that depending on the building that you go, there might be multiple quests that you unlock on each floor. Based on what? Based on things that we do, a conversation that we have with people, or what?
You can look here into something. I would compare it. It's fairly comparable, I think, to The Witcher 3. So we had like a really strong spine of a main story. There was side quests that were surrounding that. And you have a lot of like minor quests and like smaller activities around the city or around the map in The Witcher. And here we are doing something similar. Of course, you know, updated and changed towards, you know, Cyberpunk. But basically, what happens is there is this really core story that leads you throughout the whole thing. And then the characters that you're meeting, they have their own storylines that we're developing. But then as a player, you can stumble upon lots of things happening in the city. And those things can turn into quests. And we are sort of intentionally doing it in a way that you as a player, you can do really different things that start those quests because you don't know where those are. Exactly. And when you're doing different things, you like stumble upon it suddenly. And that's something that we did in Witcher and players really liked because it was rewarding the exploration, right? And here is the same, really, like we want the player to just get into bike or get on the motorcycle, get into the car, drive basically around the city listening to cool radio stations with cool music and just drive somewhere, you know, explore some area and then suddenly stumble upon something and just follow that storyline and learn about the district and people and so on.
All right, so I want to go a little into the technical side. There was just an announcement that you guys are going to be implementing ray trace technology for the PC side. How is the tech, because it's relatively new, how has that tech actually helped the CDPR team with the development of the thing and actually achieve the vision of Cyberpunk?
One of the core elements of a Cyberpunk city are neons and reflections and lights. And this is the way how we've been utilizing ray tracing. We have ray tracing emissives. So basically all the neons are reflected, you know, in the water. They're like, you see the reflections all over you when we are playing. Then we're using, of course, global illumination. That makes the locations on the Night City look actually way more realistic. And right now we are doing like fairly amount of experimentation with it because it's like, With this sort of feature, is like depending, like very tiny changes, have a huge impact on the vision, on the way it looks like. It's like, it's hard to probably imagine, but like really tiny, tiny changes on the code side are causing tremendous differences, the way how the game looks. And so we are playing with it a lot. Like the demo that we're showing right now, look visually, it is really updated from what we have shown before. But I hope that we will be actually even able to move it even further, right? And the next thing that we're doing is skylight. So basically just making sure that the daylight and night, they both look really well, especially in terms of reflections and like light bouncing of walls and so on, just to nail down this like cyberpunk feeling, especially during the daytime, because that's the harder part, right?
Right. All right. Well, Danny, do you have any other questions? Because like,
I'm a huge fan of like just music and games. So in the demo, they show change of radio stations. Is there going to be moments where maybe like somebody is talking on a radio station that will unlock new quests?
Oh, that's an interesting topic. So radio and media in general are an important part of the cyberpunk world. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of actually cases when player will be encountering media in some form. Of course, you know, it's our vision of 2077 media, right? So mm-hmm. They're like mostly captured by corporations. You know, they're like, mm-hmm. of course, just, you know, they were basically talking about, you know, the corporations wants them to talk about. And as a player, you will be able actually to hear about the events that you have done from various sources. And radio mm-hmm. is one of them, actually.
Yeah, and TV. I think there was like a, was it a TV? Because I know somebody was walking around where there was like a lot of little stores. And one of those stores, I don't know if it was a radio or maybe a TV. It was like from far away where they were having a conversation of things that was going on at that moment. So something similar like that, right?
Yes, I mean, media definitely exists in the game, like because the media as an archetype was an important part of Cyberpunk 2020, mm-hmm. and it exists in 77 as well. And we have both radio and television. And yeah, we have like some special content prepared for that.
Yeah, so anything else? Good. I'm thinking what else we could talk. Oh, the reaction, man. Like last year was crazy. Everybody was going crazy with the game. And this year, again, it's like the game is getting so much buzz, man. So much buzz. Like, how is it you as a developer, the behind the scenes? Because last year, my co-host, he went to the last appointment. He was coming out. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to record his reaction. I recorded his reaction. He was freaking out. We posted the video online. It went viral, right? So, but I noticed that your team was retweeting that, like retweeting the video, talking about it. So how is it behind the scenes for you guys when you see reactions like that or just the buzz on social media? And
I mean, it's it's hard. I have goosebumps when you ask these questions. Because I'm relieving this. Thing is that like we are extremely thrilled to see anything really from the media, from journalists, because you know, like we treat you guys as a, like specialists. You know stuff way more, probably way more in depth than the players.
Yeah.
Like normally the players, mm-hmm. and we want to hear the feedback, right? Like you don't really know. Sometimes you just don't see the forest because the trees are in the front of you. You know what I mean? Like you work on something so closely that you have no idea if it's good or it's not, and so on. And then when somebody comes out and just gives you this amazing reaction, just everybody gets so freaking out. Excited.
Yeah.
Like you can't imagine what's happening in the studio when like there's like news about Cyberpunk that comes out. Like we of course we like share it, we talk about it and so on. Mm-hmm. And because like people are just eager like to learn, okay, what you guys liked, what you guys didn't like, so that we can improve and we can do better, right? Because we work on it for years. Like mm-hmm. we work for it for years, and it's really like just all our passion, all those hours, you know, put into it, just imagination, everything we can put in, and just you just want it to be good because you have one chance. You have one chance to make it. And it's like, for us, it's just being like, okay, we need to stay humble. Okay, last year was good. That's cool. But, you know, it was last year. It's done. Like,
we got to right move now, on. Yeah.
Yeah, we have the next year mm-hmm. To be done. We need to outdo ourselves. We need to do better, actually, than we have done, because we want to promise a lot mm-hmm. and then we want to over-deliver.
Yeah.
Like always, we want to try. We try to over deliver so that we will keep you satisfied. Like that, you will, when you will play this game, it will be like, yeah, this is a CD Projekt Red game. Mm-hmm. I'm buying it, and I really want to enjoy it, and I will have this amazing adventure.
I do have a question, because I mean the energy is palpable when you walk. Literally, when you go up the stairs into this hall and you start closing in, and you see the bright yellow and the Cyberpunk logo, and the energy is palpable. How are you guys able to take that and flip that around to do bigger, better? Because you said like last year was last year, this year has to be bigger and better. How are you guys able to keep iterating and making, you know, this legendary drop of 2077? Because it almost seems like how are you guys able to keep making it better?
I think the core of it is just like we really listen. We really listen to what people have to say about it, what was not good about it, and we really honestly like try to improve it. Like it's just not about, it's not about sitting in your laurels and being like, yeah, that's good enough, you know, like 8 out of 10, okay, yeah, I'm satisfied. It's not like this. It's like, that's my name on it. Like there's my name on this thing.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way I'm like backing out and like just allowing for anything to be mediocre or something. It's just like this, and it's like. Mm-hmm. If you are in CDP Red and you talk to people, like I have like younger designers in my team, and when we talk about it, and he's asking me like, "Hey, should we do it?" And I'm looking at him, I'm like, "Dude, are we CD Projekt Red or not?" And he knows the answer, and he knows what is the right thing to do in this case.
Yeah.
Because we are like going full on or not doing something. Like that's just 100% or zero. Like if we are doing it, like we're doing it to the fullest capacity we have. If we screwed up, it's because we couldn't do better. It's not because we were lazy or we decided, I don't know, to stop halfway or something. It's just because we couldn't do better.
Yeah, and like I said in the beginning, I think this demo is a lot better. So many things you could do. You showed a lot more than the previous year. So I just want to say congrats, and I can't wait for the game. And I can't wait for Paris to actually check out the game tomorrow at 5 p.m. And, once again, release date, everything for more information about the game?
Yeah, the release date is 16th of April 2020. It comes out on three different platforms, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. It was a tremendous pleasure to talk to you guys, really.
Yeah.
I'm really, really happy.
He's super excited. He's super excited, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love this, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.